Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a Wednesday afternoon here in Indianapolis at Radio Row for the NFL Combine. Rolling on, guys, we'll be hitting the Lucas Oil Field turf tomorrow. And of course, a little bit of news dropped earlier today. And I emphasize a little bit because I don't think anybody was surprised by the development reported by Ian Rappaport of NFL Network earlier today that the Packers have had some trade talks around Jaire Alexander. And clearly, I think most people expected this to occur, the idea that the Packers want to get something for him before they bid adieu to the Jaire Alexander experience. And I've seen some ideas as far as what it means and what it could portend and what do you think we'll get for him. I'll deal with that last kind of bit first, because I do understand Packers fans wanting to get as much as possible in return for Jaire, but I do think the reality of the situation is most NFL teams understand that the Packers are moving on. And, you know, there's a decent chance that they don't end up, you know, getting real value for him in a trade, and they still end up cutting him. And you can, as a general manager, a team builder, kind of sit back and wait for that. But I do think Jaire is talented enough and has shown that he is still a high-level player when he's on the field, to the point where someone's probably going to pull that trigger and just to jump the line, so to speak, and make sure they get him. And I understand that means taking on his contract, of which, you know, for a player of his caliber is not crazy if he's on the field. And now that is the trick, right? Because the man has played only 7 games each of the last 2 seasons, and undoubtedly GMs will be kind of using that against the Packers. But I think if you look at Gutekunst's track record, I mean, you can just look at the Aaron Rodgers trade where he's literally dealing with just one team and still was able to extract a pretty decent return. Plus you look around the league and you see at some of the kind of deals that have been made for cornerbacks. I mean, Lattimore from the Saints to the Commanders last year for a player who essentially, I think, played 2 games for them after the trade. So it's certainly something that's going to continue to be talked about throughout the offseason. Someone asked me if I agreed with Justice, positing that this report would mean that there is a deal in place. I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think that's a possibility. I also think a more likely possibility is that the Packers have had preliminary talks with folks and have been met with some real lowball offers. We'll see how it transpires over the course of the next kind of month or so. But make no mistake, this is the beginning of the end for Jaire Alexander in Green Bay. And we've talked about it here before. You guys know I'm a big fan of Jaire's, and I hate to see him out the door. But it sure, you know, has reached a point internally in 1265 Lombardi where it just doesn't feel like that working relationship is salvageable at this point. And the Packers will be moving on. I'm moving on to all your fine questions and comments. How you doing, folks? Good to see everybody chatting it up. Cheesehead Joey, thanks for the super chat, man. So when does the transition from Murphy to policy become official? Is there an exact day? By the letter of the law, the bylaws of the Green Bay Packers, the exact day is Mark Murphy's 70th birthday, which is in June. So I don't have Mark Murphy's birthday in my calendar, but whenever that day is the official transition, essentially, because of, like I said, the bylaws. So that's when Ed Policy will become president and CEO. JP, thanks for the super chat, man. Need context behind you tweeting Big Cat fears Jordan Love. Yes, I saw Dan out and about last night, and one of the first things he talked about to me, unprompted, was, you know, talking to Ben Johnson yesterday, and then how, you know, Jordan Love is cooked, and Jordan Love this, and Jordan Love that. Man, Jordan Love's living rent-free in Big Cat's brain. I didn't bring him up. He did. Not even talking about his own team. He's talking about my quarterback. So pretty apparent that, you know, Dan is very afraid of this upcoming season where they've got the new coach. They got their quarterback, got a new defensive coordinator, etc. They're feeling good because they got a win in Lambeau for the first time in God knows how long. Actually, since they retired Brett Favre's number. That's how long it had been. And now they're all doing that thing they do every day, being Bears fans, of which, you know, Dan is one, even though really born in New England and didn't grow up a Bears fan, but that's another conversation. You know, they're all doing that thing they do, talking shit in the offseason. Because it's all they got. They know they're going to get into the season and Ben Johnson's going to be exposed as a fraud. Come on. We all know this, right? I'm kind of kidding, but kind of not, because it's the Bears. It's just funny how, you know, Jordan Love's living rent-free in Dan's head. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Is Murphy for just getting rid of the tush push, or does he want to get rid of all aiding the runner by pushing like it used to be? I favor the latter. Joe, I favor the latter as well. I'm not so sure on Murphy. If you guys caught my radio appearance, was it yesterday? God, all these days blend together. Funnily enough, though Mark Murphy has been vocal about wanting the tush push gone and has talked about it at league meetings, he was not the one to pull the trigger on the actual proposal from the Green Bay Packers. And it wasn't Brian Gutekunst. It was someone else. But as far as like what Murphy is looking for, I'm pretty sure it's just that play in particular. I haven't seen or heard him say anything to the effect of going back to the rule as it used to be of not being able to aid a runner at all. He's never shared that publicly that I am aware of or I can remember. So I think it's very specific to the tush push. Simitovich, thanks for the super chat, man. Need context to moving the combine from Indy. Why? I knew this would come up. It just kind of hit me last night walking around. And look, I understand Indianapolis is a whole hell of a lot more than this area downtown by the convention center, right? But it does feel like a lot of Indianapolis has moved on from this spot of town, this part of town. And I know my buddy Tyler will tell me there's lots of great spots elsewhere. But of course, the convention center is here right by the stadium. And that's what does make it attractive for teams to come and blah, blah, blah. But at this point, this part of town is just, man, it's not vibrant. It's not hopping like it really was for a very long time. The convenience is still there, but you're still walking quite a bit. And I just think with the NFL draft being such a success, moving from spot to spot, got a feeling, you know, it's only a matter of time before they're taking this show on the road. And I think given, you know, how this city has changed, I think the time is right. That's all. It's like, look, I love Indy. You guys know I've talked about it a lot. I think it's a great spot to come and visit. I love coming here every year, but, you know, I just think I understand the NFL's thinking of, you know, I know they've signed an extension, a couple of them actually, to keep it here in Indy for one or two more years, but the writing's on the wall, and I think I understand it. Jason, thanks for the super chat, man. What is realistic compensation for Jair? I mean, it only takes one team to blow that up, right? But I would suspect a day three pick. You know, maybe they get a couple of picks, both day three. But I've seen people talking about getting a second round pick and things like that, and that would be absolutely shocking. Maybe there's something tied into playtime, etc. If they get, say, a pick this year and then another conditional pick in 2026, if he's able to stay healthy and on the field, etc. Maybe something like that happens. But yeah, day three pick, I think that's a win. And I know there'll be some disappointed folks out there because it does suck the fact that you have a former first round, two-time Pro Bowler, all-pro level player who you signed to a monster extension just a couple years ago, and then to see him go out the door for a day three draft pick would sting. There's no doubt about it. Aaron Harper, how are you, man? Hi, Aaron. Go Pack, go. Bears still suck. What a perfect comment. Absolutely love it. Nick, how are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitch. Appreciate you. How's it going, Nags? I'll tell you what. I'm a little slow today. I was out a little late last night. No question about it. Where I did run into Dan and a bunch of other people. I saw Peter Bukowski out and about last night. Just good thing Corey's not here. But yeah, so I'm moving a little slow today. A little slow. But still here chatting it up with Packers fans worldwide because that's what we do. And I will be on Happy Hour at the top of the hour. If you are a Patreon member or a Carry the G Club member here on YouTube, don't forget the information is on your respective pages. We will, even though I'm on the move here, I'm in Indianapolis, we'll still be having our weekly happy hour. So I'll see you guys there for that. Joey, what's going on, man? If the Lions are offering a second, would you do it? If the Lions are offering a second. Oh, I think, didn't Andy put this out there? Something like that? I mean, probably. Second round pick. That'd be pretty incredible to get for a guy that you probably are going to cut. I know it'd be frustrating to have him in a Lions uniform and probably then staying healthy and playing all 17 games and playoffs, what have you, and probably playing extremely well against the Green Bay Packers. But Yeah, second round pick. I got no problem with it. Got no problem with it. Oh, here we go. Now I got people putting packages together. Trade Jair Alexander to the Raiders, along with a number 3 and a number 6 pick for Max Crosby. Random Packer, Jair Alexander. Good call, Gimpy. Grimpy, sorry. Grimpy 71. I do think those are the types of conversations that Brian will undoubtedly be having with not only his own staff, but maybe even, you know, the Raiders. I do think there's a lot of that noise from the outside where we get excited about those kind of ideas. They very rarely materialize in actual fact when it comes to the, especially in the NFL, but man, never say never. Yeah, I would be surprised if there was a player for player trade akin to that, at that level, but you never really know. I do think the contracts would be the interesting points there, especially Crosby's, but obviously Russ Ball can make it work. I'm not too worried about that. Brandon Miller, thanks for the super chat, man. There are a ton of fave plays from Green Bay history, but Jair reading that wide receiver screen, Justin Jefferson, and blowing Adam Thielen the hell up will always be a top one for me. I name-checked that exact play a couple days ago, talking to somebody about one of my favorite all-time Green Bay Packers plays. I mean, that is just the epitome of who he had been as a player. You know, now I think so much is, you know, centered around the frustration of his inability to stay healthy and available. But man, those were the types of plays, and he made lots of them, where just his football IQ, his instincts, his ability to read things and break on the ball, the man, what have you, it was very special, no question about it. Now, I will say some of that seems to have gone missing, so to speak, in this new iteration of Jair since the shoulder injury, the one against the Steelers that obviously kept him out for a very long time that season. And it does feel like he's changed a bit of his physical approach in that regard. That doesn't mean he can't still be really effective, and he has been. I mean, look no further than the Cowboys playoff game last season. But it does feel like that player that you're talking about with that play, which was phenomenal, doesn't seem to be that guy anymore, which is, you know, like I said, it's not, I don't think that's crazy. And I don't know, I think I understand it as far as a self-preservation aspect, trying to make sure you don't, your shoulder doesn't get blown up again. But it does seem like that's a bit of a demarcation line for Jair's game and the style changing somewhat. William James, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, man. If it were you, would you keep Jair, or is it time? Are there any players that have left that you missed chatting with, either interviews or just BSing? Well, that's a great question, man. I definitely missed Crabtree when he left, and not seeing Bakhtiari in the locker room was weird. Like, he had been there for so long, right? And he had been very good to Cheesehead TV, and we had a really good kind of back and forth whenever we spoke and saw my practice, or I'd be there for training camp. So that was weird. But yeah, if it were me, would I keep Jair, or is it time? I mean, I'd keep Jair, but I'm not the one having to deal with it. You know, I think they're a much better team if he is on the team and if he is on the field for them, but there's the rub because he's so rarely on the field these days. And look, most of this is being driven behind the scenes, right? There's friction and there's frustration, and I don't think it's coming from Brian. I think it's coming from the coaching staff. And to that point, I completely get it. I mean, I have zero doubt that it has been a very frustrating episode for everybody, for Jair and for the team. So, you know, you're asking would I absolutely keep him, but I'm not privy to whatever the frustrations are that have got us to this point. It's kind of nice to be able to just turn off your computer and go about your day, right? And not have to deal with it. But if that is your job and your gig and part of your everyday being, I'm sure there's probably a different viewpoint there. Rai, that's an interesting question. Does Jair's injury-prone nature justify the Packers' physical thresholds? And obviously referencing the fact that, you know, and I think, if I remember right, I think Brian has admitted that Jair was a bit below one of their thresholds. And I don't know if it justifies it, but, you know, it's certainly a cautionary tale. No question about it. You know, the old Tom Landry quote, you keep making exceptions, suddenly you're a team full of exceptions. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, Jair's style of play, like we were just talking about, puts your body at, harm's way a little bit more, maybe, but it is a game of football. Guys are injured all the time. I can't really say, oh, if he had been an inch taller, he probably wouldn't get hurt as much. I think that's probably a convenient way to look at it. I think there are plenty of guys who fall within their thresholds who also end up getting hurt. I mean, look at Christian Watson. He's certainly within all the thresholds they have for wide receiver, yet he's been banged up almost his entire NFL career. Vitton V. Let's bring back turning off your computer. Society's mental health requires it. You ain't wrong, bro. You ain't wrong. J. Cole, man, I feel you. I love Ja. I hate that it's come to this. I just keep thinking of that quote in Two Towers when Theoden is just like that kind of slow-mo and they're getting ready for the assault, and he just says, how did it come to this? That's where I'm at with Jair. Like, again, I know I'm not privy to the things that have led to this, but man, it's frustrating. Sandy, how are you? Thanks for being a Carry the G Club member. I'll miss 23. Loved his play and personality, but no, it's a given. Yeah, that's the thing. It was so fun to watch him when he was on the field and his attitude and the way he was so brash and the way, I mean, everyone will remember his gritty over Justin Jefferson and Lambeau. You love that aspect of Jair. I loved it anyway. Some people maybe didn't, but, and then just how he was at practice and with the media and with the fans. I think he was like one of the, better representations of the G, of the Packers brand that has come through the doors. And I understand he's a different cat, maybe rubs some people the wrong way with his quote unquote antics, but man, I love him. He's a true individual. Man, I'm with you, Sandy. I'll miss it. Yeah, Rai. I like it. Jair's 2020 NFC Championship game was his apex, kept the Packers alive. I mean, the man just kept picking off Tom Brady. Pretty damn impressive. Martin Davis is here to talk about the draft. I want Green Bay to go offense in the first round this year. Someone dynamic to put them over the top. My favorite example of this is when the Lions took Jahmyr Gibbs. He made that Lions offense go. He did this past year, no doubt about it. But I would also remind you that he was in a rotation that rookie year. And if you're looking for a guy to come in and contribute immediately, that's not exactly what Gibbs did, right? I understand that desire and that thinking. I do think they will add on offense, but if it's not in the first round, that doesn't change anything, and it doesn't mean they can't still find a game breaker or somebody who does help put them over the top. The draft is 7 rounds. Talent can come from any one of those rounds. Just something to remember when they're on the clock in the first round and they draft a defensive player and you're like throwing up your arms, 6 more rounds to go. Plenty of talent available. Justin. Puka, cough. I mean, I'd be absolutely shocked if Brian made that kind of move. There's no way that the Packers would probably go down that road. Now we got a bunch of people talking draft. Let's go. This draft will be interesting. I agree. Steve, with a very succinct comment. Center? Question mark? Man, I'd love it if it was that kid, Gray Zabel. He is I think listed as a center, but he can essentially play anywhere along the line. I'd love that kind of pick, though I think there are plenty of fans that would be upset at that as well. So can't really win in that regard if you're the general manager. But as Brian said, he's not going to be on the stage, so people can boo whoever's there, probably Goodell instead of him. Uncultured, what a question. Is Edrin Cooper this team's Wedge Antilles? I don't know. Wedge doesn't feel... I don't know. It doesn't feel quite big enough, exciting enough. I mean, Wedge is a very important character, obviously helps Luke blow up the first Death Star and is there on the second Death Star and is there at the Rise of Skywalker. So, he's a trusty, long-term rebel who absolutely helps the heroes. But I think Edrin Cooper is a hero. Really, he's on his way to becoming one. I don't know. Wedge Antilles feels too minimal. A role for Edrin Cooper. This has been Star Wars Nerddom with Aaron Nagler. Nags, do you like, I think we will see a more formidable offense with Getsy back this year, air attack wise? Gary, I had a really good talk with Matt Schneidman about this a little bit yesterday, and it's fascinating because on top of that talk, I got to discuss real quickly with Bobby Peters, who has his new book out about the Packers offense. And if you have not read Bobby's stuff, I highly encourage you to do so. So phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. And he does it for a lot of different teams, but his Packers books are always must reads. And he was asking, he said, like, what was wrong with the offense down the stretch last year? It's one of those things that no one can really put their finger on. It. Maybe Getsy helps in that regard, as a senior offensive assistant. But there's zero doubt that they have got to fix the passing attack. You know, it was so disjointed all year long. And I do think there's no question having Jordan essentially A, in camp the entire time rather than missing the start of it, and then B, not being injured in week one and dealing with that all year long, along with other injuries that were caused because he was dealing with that injury. I do think, you know, having all that sorted at quarterback will help, but that's not a cure-all because, you know, guys are dropping things and the guys are running bad routes and bad combinations, and that's all got to get cleaned up. So we'll see what their approach is in regards to, you know, kickstarting the passing game, because it absolutely has to happen. Matthew, what's the Corey Schneidman beef? Man, I don't know. There's so much beef going around, I can't keep track. I just stay in my lane. I could produce content and talk Packers and drink beer. But yeah, you'd have to ask them. I have no idea. It does feel like every other day I'm getting a new person going, oh, God, I don't think Corey likes me. I'm like, man, Corey doesn't like anybody. It takes a while to warm up in Corey's world. I mean, I always tell the story, like, when Corey and I met, I hated him. I hated Corey, like, in the worst way. Like, legit, just did not like the guy. And then we became really good friends, and now we run a business together. You never know how things are going to go. You know, first impressions can be weird. Uncultured, thanks again, man. Today's tunes are Gear Jammer by George Thorogood, Destroyer by the Kinks, and Piano Man by Billy Joel, and Top Jimmy by Van Halen. Ooh, nice Van Halen selection. A little out of the norm. I like it. Rob, what's up, man? Remember when there was talk about Jair getting plays on offense? Man, that feels like a million years ago. Remember when there were talks about Keyshawn Nixon getting plays on offense, and then he got exactly one 2 years ago? Crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. All right, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'll see you guys at happy hour. Have a good night. Go Pack, go.